This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
He says, by the washing of regeneration and by the renewal of what? Of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the agent that brings regeneration and renewal. So God gives new life to us through the ministry of His Spirit. We have no access to this life apart from the Spirit of God.
Listen as Rich introduces the second part of a message titled, The Helper Gives New Life.
Well, welcome to Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles together to Titus chapter 3, where we continue to learn more about God's Holy Spirit. What a gift God's Holy Spirit is to everyone who comes to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Today we're specifically looking at God's Spirit's work of bringing regeneration to dead hearts. Regeneration is simply the act of God's Spirit of placing new life, the life of God, in our souls. And what transformation takes place when a person receives the life of God's Spirit? You know, Christianity is not about being religious, it's not about being moral, it's not about even some of the relationships we have with other Christians or ministries we're involved with. Christianity is about Christ and His life dominating and being placed in ours so that we live out the life of Christ in worship and in service. So let's open up our Bibles to Titus 3, where we learn more about this new life that we have in Christ by God's Spirit.
Nicodemus, I don't think he's so much confused between the physical and the spiritual, but he's asking a physical question in order to gain clarity on the spiritual. Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus says, truly, truly. Now that's four trulies. Do you notice that? Four trulies. Whenever Jesus says truly four times, it probably should take notice of it. Everything Jesus says is true. But when he says truly, truly, he's kind of taken Nicodemus by the robe and kind of shaking him a bit. He says, Nicodemus, now you really need to pay attention because this is the most important thing in life for you to know. We cannot completely understand regeneration because it's a supernatural work. And Jesus uses this analogy between physical birth and to help us understand spiritual birth. And in physical conception birth, we can understand something about it. We can describe parts of the process, but we really don't comprehend the most important parts. There's a limit to our knowledge, even in the physical conception of life itself. You see, man still cannot produce physical life out of nothing. And I believe man never will be able to do that, regardless of how far science advances, because only God can do that. And God is the author of life. And this is, by the way, as an aside, anyone who refuses to acknowledge God cannot understand physical life or spiritual life. There is something inside of us that knows we have purpose and knows that we have meaning, but the person who fails to acknowledge God sees only mechanical processes involved with no transcendence. And so they speak of physical life in the womb yet as sort of a blob of cells, something that's not real. And that's just the blindness of a person who doesn't acknowledge God, because God is the author of life, both physical and spiritual. Spiritually, the gift of life in the soul is a reality that can only be explained by the working of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus even talks about that later in that passage with Nicodemus. He says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. In other words, physically we can know something of the wind, but all those processes involved, we just experience it. We understand it when the wind blows in our face, but we don't completely comprehend it. There's a mysterious aspect to it. The second passage that I want to point us to is Ezekiel 36. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And here there's a promise of justification. So that's another big theological word, but a really important word for us to understand. It's the declaration of righteousness upon a person who's guilty of unrighteousness. And it's the forgiveness of sins. It's the removal of the guilt of sin and the presentation of acceptability of righteousness toward one who has not earned that standing. And so he says, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to remove the guilt of your sins. I'm going to sprinkle clean water on you. That's justification. But then he says, and I will give you a new heart. And that's the doctrine of regeneration. You see, it's not enough for us to have our sins removed, because what happens if our sins are removed? The mechanism inside of us, our own human heart that produces sin, still continues to pump out sin. It keeps us from being fit for heaven. And so God not only must forgive us in order to save us and rescue us, he also must regenerate us and ultimately sanctify us and ultimately even glorify us, or else there is no hope. So God's salvation is whole, and he talks about forgiveness and sprinkling clean, and then he talks about this new heart, there's going to be a new life. And notice how God describes this through Ezekiel. I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put in within you. I will remove a heart of stone from your flesh, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. What he's saying there is this heart of stone that's resistant to God, that pushes God away, is going to be changed so that this new heart is receptive and submissive and soft toward God and toward his will and submission to his word. The last passage is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all this is from God. It's a description of regeneration. Everything old passes away, and the new. What's new? Well, everything becomes new, because everything related to our spirit, everything related to our life with God. So before we move on to our need for regeneration, I want to ask you some questions, and they're the most important questions. They're kind of the truly, truly questions that flow out of Jesus' words. The first question is, have you been born again? Have you been born again? The second question from Ezekiel 36, has your heart of stone been removed, cut out? And has God given you a heart of flesh that's responsive to him, that loves him, that's submissive to him, that rejoices in him? And the third question from 2 Corinthians, has the old in your life passed away, and has everything become new? We've had three testimonies that answer those questions, yes, yes, and yes. And nearly every one of them had a point in their life where said, well, I thought so, but no. I was part of an environment of faith, but I still had a heart of stone. I still wasn't born again. I still didn't have everything made new. So I want to ask you, before you leave here, to think about that question, because this is what the work of the Spirit does. Is he offers this life. And it's not something we can manufacture. We can't go out here and say, okay, I'm going to be born again. We can't go out here and say, I'm going to have a heart of flesh now. That's just the way I'm going to do it. We can't go out and say, everything's going to be new. I'm going to make it so. We can't do that. We don't have access to that work. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that's granted to those who humbly get on their knees and ask him, God, do a work in my heart. I can't change my heart, but you can. I need you to do a work on the basis of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for me. I believe that you will grant me this life. The necessity now of regeneration. Why do you need it? Titus 3:3, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. This is a description of the former life, the heart of stone life, the life we had when we were born into the world, every one of us. It's a description of our natural self, a self that's without God, a self that's without spiritual life. And does anyone doubt this description's accuracy, that this is true of every natural person's heart? If you spend any time on social media reading posts, you'll quickly see the truth of Titus 3:3. You know, you read this 2,000-year-old description and then read the mass of modern posts or read comments after every news story. It's depressing. But this description is right there. Look at these words and think through, because I think we all have read some of those posts. We've all read those comments. And look at these words. Foolish. Disobedient. Disobedient to God. Led astray. Slaves to various passions, slaves to various pleasures, passing our days in malice, just looking at each other, looking for someone to bite, and envy. That person has something I don't have, and they shouldn't. Hated by others, and hating one another. I know that some people with life in the Spirit post on social media, bless you, I'm not opposed to that. That's great. Be light, be salt. But I have to tell you, I stay off because it's just too discouraging and it's also too alluring. If I read too much, I find myself getting drawn into this old life. And I don't want that. I don't need that kind of temptation. Paul would say in Ephesians 2, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now working, the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. And here's the truth. Each of us desperately needs new life. We need regeneration. If God would grant us life in the Spirit, He must first awaken us to our need. Do you know why so many are unmoved when they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? When they hear the story of the cross, the story of the resurrection? Do you know why so many roll their eyes when they hear Jesus proclaimed in a public sphere? Do you know why that is? Because they don't think they need a Savior. They don't think they have any disease that needs mended. They think they're fine. They think if there is a heaven, I'm surely not bad enough to not be allowed in. Surely I'm okay, right? And so when you hear the Jesus talk of the gospel, wait a minute, I don't have a problem, so I don't need that solution. The first work of the Holy Spirit in our life is a work of conviction, to recognize this is our, I need new life. If I don't have new life, I am lost now and I am lost forever. Then we look at the agency of regeneration. He says, by the washing of regeneration and by the renewal of what? Of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the agent that brings regeneration and renewal. So God gives new life to us through the ministry of His Spirit. We have no access to this life apart from the Spirit of God. Jesus says in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. So whatever we enjoy as children of God, we enjoy only because of the agency, the working of God's Holy Spirit. It is through the Spirit that we have assurance of a future inheritance. It is through the Spirit we have confidence of a freedom from guilt, an experience of peace with God. It is through the Spirit that we pray and call out to God in real ways, Daddy, Father, Abba. It is through the Spirit that our fears do not enslave us. It is through the Spirit that temptations don't rule over us. It is through the Spirit that we become members of Jesus' church, members of a body that's far more significant than any of us are individually, that we are included in God's family, among God's people, with purpose to live for the glory of God. It is through the Holy Spirit that we persevere through hardship and trials. It is through the Spirit that we face death itself and every other enemy of God with hope. It is through the Spirit that we become conformed to the very likeness of Jesus. Whatever we rejoice as a result of being children of God, we owe to the working of the Holy Spirit. Can we hear an amen to that? Can we hear an amen to that? Then transformation. So the agency is the Holy Spirit. It's not our doing. It's not rituals. It's not certain specific prayers. We pray the right way. It is not a certain community if we just get a part of the right kind of people. It is not certain special practices if we just do these practices. None of that. It is not by works of righteousness. It's by the washing of the regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom God in His rich generosity pours out upon us through Jesus Christ. Praise God we have access to the Spirit. But let us know we only have access through the Holy Spirit. Last, the transformation. Now, what do we expect to happen? Verse 7 and 8. So that being justified by His grace, that's being declared righteous by grace, not by works, we might become heirs, those who inherit all the treasure that Christ inherits as a son, an obedient son. We become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And then he says this, this saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things. Remember, he's talking to a pastor. He says, insist on it with your congregation. Don't let them forget these things, because if they forget these things, they'll lose sight of what's important. They'll lose sight of what's valuable. They'll lose sight of what's real and true. Insist on these things. Just press this doctrine, press its application hard into your people's hearts, is what he's telling Titus. He says, so that those who have believed in God, so that those who have received regeneration, those who have received renewal by the Holy Spirit, may be careful to devote themselves to good works. You see, we do not devote ourselves to good works in order to be regenerated or to be renewed. It's by grace that we're regenerated through the Spirit. It's by grace we're renewed through the Holy Spirit. It's because we have new life, and it's because this life is being strengthened day by day that God says, now participate with me. It's a gift. It's a stewardship. This life is by grace. Now participate in the life that I've given you. Do something with that life. Devote yourselves to my glory. This is profitable. It is fruitful. It is purposeful. It is meaningful. It'll infuse joy into your life, you see. Insist on these things, he says. New life in Christ always changes the way we live. If we see no real changes in our relationship to sin and in our relationship with God, we are right to question whether or not we have been given new life by the Spirit. Last week, I was able to hold my fourth grandchild for the first time. She's 2 months old. We went out to Colorado. My wife is still there for a few more days. What do you expect to see when you hold a two-month-old baby? What do you expect to see? Well, almost everybody here could answer that question. You can expect to see that little two-year-old wiggle. And if he's not, you know, swaddled, he's going to arms and legs and head. You expect to see him open his eyes sometime, kind of maybe start to look at you, and a lot of times close his eyes. You can expect him to coo. You can expect him to cry. You can expect him to get hungry. You can expect him also to eat. You can expect him to do what happens after he eats. You can expect his skin to be warm to the touch. And one thing I didn't think of, you can expect him to hiccup. He's going to do that. And what happened if Kimberly and I went out there to see little Jack for the first time? And instead of him being warm, he's cold and he's blue. Instead of breathing, we don't hear any breath. Instead of moving arms and legs, he's just still. Instead of cooing and crying, there's silence. Instead of eating, there is no appetite, and there are no diapers ever to change the entire week we are there. What would we conclude? We would have this awful, terrible sense that this baby is not alive. Because where there is life, there is evidence, there is movement. When a person has life in the Spirit, there is movement of life, always. I know it varies in degree, like it does with people and certain diseases, that life might even be very slow and minimal, but there is movement, there is evidence. And so it is with the transformation. What if someone confesses Jesus and is baptized? What do you expect to see in that person's life? Well, we'd expect there to be movement toward God. We'd expect there to be hunger, spiritual hunger that's satisfied by the milk of the Word. We would expect there to be joyful expressions in worship. We'd expect there to be love for brothers and sisters. We'd expect there to be crying out to the Father in prayer. It's very authentic, not sort of stiff and formal. We'd expect there to be thanksgiving. There be a willingness and desire to follow Jesus. We'd expect changes in affections, changes in the will, changes of the mind. And what would we conclude if there were no changes in any of these areas? We would have to conclude, I don't think there's life. And so I want you to ask yourself, do you have evidence of life? Have evidence of life. You see, the Holy Spirit makes life possible. The impossible is possible because the Holy Spirit is God who does miracles. Many think of life in the Spirit as maybe some kind of emotional experience, and it may be that, but it is not that. In other words, it may include that, but it is not that. Life in the Spirit is a complete transformation, a transformation of heart, a transformation of everything. It is not merely an emotional event, it is a revolution. So I would ask you, do you have life in the Spirit? Do you experience evidences of the Spirit's granting you life? Do you wish for something more? Do you think something is missing? It is possible to have that feeling of something is missing because you have regeneration, but you have not experienced renewal for a long, long time. You have life, it's just gone very, very dormant because you've shut off the Holy Spirit from bringing the renewal that He would have to make in your life every day. And a renewal that's wrought by a complete yielding, saying, Lord, whatever you say, that's what I want to do, and I'm just depending upon your Spirit to make that happen. It's also possible that you say, well, something's missing because you never have experienced regeneration. And the answer to that is to call out to God and say, God, I want the life that you offer me through the Spirit. I need it. I need it desperately. And I'm calling out in humble faith, believing you would grant it to me as I would ask. May God bring about such life, the Spirit in your soul, that Jesus shines through you. And my God, grant such life then of a gathered community like this at Bethany, that together as we gather, there would be joy in Christ. And then as we leave, there would be a witness to our world, because this world, it is dead, it is dark, it is dusty. And we have the message, a message of Jesus who died in our place and rose again. A message that the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit and offers the Holy Spirit and life through His working to everyone who would believe on Jesus. What a great message of good news.
Rich will be right back to wrap up today's message. We're glad you joined us and encourage you to invite friends to listen. You can stay connected during the week through our website, knowingchrist.org. Now, here's Rich with some closing thoughts.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We pray for you. We pray that everybody who listens to this radio ministry would grow to know Christ more and more, that their life would be more transformed by the power of God's Spirit. And so at the end of this message, we want to ask you a simple question, and that question is, are you born again? Have you received this new life that God offers to you through Jesus Christ? We would love to provide resources for you to think more about that question. Please feel free to connect with us so that we might be able to send more information to you, that we might be able to pray for you, so that you might consider this question, well, what does it mean for me to be born again? How can I be born again? We would love to help you along that path so that you too would have the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, so that you too would have life in the Spirit, a new life that God offers through Jesus. May God bless you.
Were you blessed by today's message? Why not download a free copy and give it to a friend? Invite them to join us each week on this station. You can download a copy at knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org. And while you're there, select the Contact tab and send us a note on how God is using this program, or share a prayer request with us. It's such an encouragement when we hear from our listeners. Thanks for listening today. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.